Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you, Fight Night Extra, with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis, where we discuss all the latest from the world of combat sports. The first one of the new year as well, so happy new year to you. Today, we're going to look ahead to what we can expect in 2023 from the world of boxing. 2022 provided some highs, but also some lows as well, both in and out of the ring. And myself and Gareth will discuss how this year can be better. We'll break down what we can expect to happen in the heavyweight division, when we can expect to see Fury versus Usyk, and what will happen to former champion Anthony Joshua, who is yet to fight since he's defeated Alexander Usyk last year. We'll also discuss some of the fights we need to see happen in 2023. These fights have to happen. Terence Crawford versus Errol Spence, the main one, on everyone's lips. Will we see a homecoming fight for Katie Taylor? And when can we expect to see Josh Taylor and Jack Catchell finally settle their rivalry? And we'll cast our eye on some of the fighters who might have a breakout year as well. Look, don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
I said I'll fight them both. No, everybody wants to call out Joshua or Tyson Fury or Usyk, but nobody calls out Big Joe Joyce, so I'm giving Big Joe his credit and I'm calling him out. I remember when Klitschko was a champion and I was coming through and he never say my name once. So I want to make this clear. I would love to fight Joe Joyce at some point. Definitely.
I think next year.
Yeah, I'll get Usyk first and then I'll get Joe Joyce.
The issue with AJ is, in my opinion, coming off the back of the two Usyk defeats, coming off the back of, you know, the disappointment and the emotional implosion, if you like, after the fight. A lot of people have said, you know, he needs his time to get round that. I think he should come back with two standard top 15 opponents. Really? Like, good, solid fight. He doesn't really want it.
The rematch would be absolutely phenomenal. And if it was in Dublin, we could sell out Croke Park, let's say 90,000 people. That would be unbelievable. We've seen something special here tonight. Imagine fighting in front of 80 or 90,000 people in Croke Park.
We have to put fights on and hopefully either break even or make some money. With a Crawford-Spence fight, that becomes very, very difficult because of the purse demands of both fighters.
Gareth, happy new year, my friend. How are you, sir?
I am very well, thank you, Adi, and looking forward to a tremendous 2023. We were a bit down in our last show on 2022. We unfortunately picked out the bones of the negatives, if you like, but the marrow looks strong for 2023. And as you say, there are some extraordinary prospects that we could have in 2023, and notably in the heavyweight division, of course, where it's set up for a fantastic year. But all the way through the 18 weight divisions and the women's side of the sport, we are looking at a fabulous year.
Yeah, that was one real big positive, wasn't it? The women's side of the sport. And we're going to break it down a bit later in the shows. But I think if you're looking at one massive positive, I think the growth of the female side of things, I think this year, 2022, sorry, was the year when it really took off. Like, it wasn't just Clarissa Shields, Savannah and Katie Amanda. There were other big unification fights, undisputed fights as well. It went to another level.
It did. And I think the entertainment factor bringing, as we know, I mean, without kind of putting too much emphasis on this, it's a notably male-dominated sport in terms of the fans as well.
Yeah.
And we know that from our followings. Yes, there are females that love the sport, but to get male eyes enjoying female sport, as we saw with the Lionesses, I watched a fantastic documentary on Sky last night on how the Lionesses was in the summer. We had that similar growth in women's boxing, as you say, those events, but the style that a lot of women are bringing now and the young prospects in Caroline Dubois and Lauren Price and Skye Nicholson and some of these young boxers, Lauren Parker, Christina O'Hara McCafferty, the style they've got is going to bring more eyes to the sport. And I wonder whether they might move to 12 two-minute rounds in some of the fights this year. I'd certainly like to see that happen, Addy. And maybe, and I hope we do, get that partner, a dance partner for Katie Taylor for the big Croke Park fight that Eddie Hearn has teased for Katie Taylor this year in Dublin. I do hope we get that because, again, that will break new ground.
Yeah, it's funny, you mentioned some of the names there and I always felt, and this isn't just disrespected, but obviously the depth isn't there, is it, when, in female boxing? Like, you can win two or three fights and you could potentially be fighting for a world title. Now, though, with the names you just mentioned sort of being chucked into some of the weight classes, the depth is there as well. We're starting to see that. And I do wonder how long it will take. Eventually, it might happen in the next 5 years or so, for there to be a British title. Those things that we don't see, European title. Obviously, you get your Commonwealth and then you get your world, but there's no British. And I do wonder, eventually, again, not now, but in the next sort of 5 years, another Olympic cycle, if it stays in the Olympics, will we see a British title?
Yeah, I think we will. I think we will see European titles and we will see Commonwealth titles. I mean, you look at the emergence of Australian women's boxing, that's getting bigger. Canadian women are boxing. You know, let's see some of the African nations come forward. I'd like to see development there from some of the African female boxers as well. Some of those are Commonwealth countries, of course, and the Caribbean, Addy. I'd like to see that growth with, you know, and we haven't mentioned here as well, Ebony Bridges made big strides last year.
Massive.
Some of the things on the margins I'm not sure about. She's exploring those areas. I don't know if they fit in true sporting terms. Natasha Jonas, by the way, I've got to mention her. I think she was my boxer of the year last year. She thoroughly deserved it. And that ability to move up the weight divisions and what she's accomplished. Chantal Cameron, Hannah Rankin coming back this year. There's so many great prospects that we can see in women's boxing and we need to get behind it and support it and push it and bring it to new levels. And I do think it's exponentially growing. I think they might struggle to have as big a year as they had last year, but if they do, then all praise to the women's boxing.
I agree. It's been a fantastic standout year for them. You and Nick last week done your sort of review of 2022. When you look back at 2022, what's the one thing you think that needs to be done better going forward this year? Like, I know there's many and you probably could reel off sort of a few here, but what's the one singular thing that you think, okay, that needs to be better?
Well, I think transparency over the way the sport's governed, transparency over the way things are played out. We're still waiting for a resolution on the Conor Benn, Chris Eubank fight and Conor Benn's defence that he was, that his two positive doping tests were contaminated. We need a resolution on that. We know a 270-page document went to the World Boxing Council and they're looking at with their respective officers and officials. Nothing yet from the Boxing Board of Control and UCAD. It's dragged on too long. It dragged on. When you think about the first positive test was in July and now we're in 2023, January, and we don't have a resolution on that. It's a travesty that the sport cannot police itself properly. And that's what we need. And in fact, the sport not policing itself properly has led to the exclusion after 2024 by the IOC of amateur boxing from the Olympics in Los Angeles in 2028. These changes need to be made and they need to be made with alacrity.
Yeah, I completely agree with you about the transparency one. I will say this though, I was surprised when I heard that we are waiting for the WBC to make a resolution on this and decide what happens to Conor Benn. So you've got a sanctioning body making a resolution. I feel like something like this, and I said this on my own channel as well, that Conor Benn's fight won't necessarily be, look, he could get off with a technicality, but I think it's going to be the people that he has to fight against, the fans. And I almost feel like something like this should almost go to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, because they will look at it not as boxing fans, not as a sanctioning body, but almost as a separate body. And I feel like that's where this should have gone to. Look, the WBC, I trust that they will come to a conclusion that will be the correct one. But I almost feel like with this, almost like what happens in athletics, right? I think it should go to a Court of Arbitration for Sport. They should decide. And then I feel like once they come back and say, yep, you're okay, I think the fans will then believe. I don't know if the WBC come back and say, Conor, you are correct, you're good to fight again. I don't know if the fans are going to accept that.
Well, I mean, I did a very salient interview on that very point with Chris Eubank Jr. in the last kind of couple of days before Christmas, actually, in the week of Christmas, and leading up to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, with Chris Eubank said, I still want to fight Conor Benn this year. Yeah. But the truth is, it's the fans that will decide, the public will decide. Yep. On his innocence and how he's labelled and all those things, regardless of what happens in terms of the resolution by the lawyers and the case when it's examined and discussed. So it's a very difficult one for Conor Benn. He needs to come back this year. And as Eubank said, he put his finger on it. You know, I think he feels that if he'd heard about both positive tests, he wouldn't have gone ahead with the fight. And it's up to Conor now to prove, or at least look, he's not the only one in history who tested positive for banned substances and come back and be the star. Yeah. His star was on the rise last year, and I picked him as my rising star for 2022. Remember, up to October the 6th, Addy, he could do no wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so there's a lot to do there in terms of him clearing his name and then getting back in the ring and winning fans over again.
Yeah, it's a long road, but it's a road that I think he's prepared to walk down. Very quickly, I remember at the back of 2021, I remember asking you about 2021, and I remember you saying, Addy, I've covered the sport for 30 years, 2021, one of the best years I've seen in the sport. I actually remember us talking about it. If you were to score out of 10, 2022, what score would you give it?
Probably a 5 or a 6.
Wow.
There were some phenomenal events, phenomenal fights. Dimitri Bivol,
Canelo.
154,000 people. I know we'll come to the heavyweights and we're coming to two Tyson Fury fights. The Jeddah experience with Anthony Joshua was fantastic, and Alexander Usyk. The things that Alexander Usyk and Vasyl Lomachenko and other boxers did for their country. Ukraine in 2022, Devin Haney, the continued rise of him, and say in women's boxing, it was not a bad year, but there were certain things that stuck in the craw and were difficult to erase. And it was tough work being a correspondent at times. Mm-hmm. On the sport. But, you know, it expect the unexpected in boxing. It's the old saying, and it'd probably be no different this year.
Yeah, I'd probably just give it a 1 point increased. I'd probably go 6-7. It wasn't special. We got some good things, but you always look at the fights that we didn't get, and that's what sort of irks me. And then again, the Conor Benn situation as well. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Remember, still to come, we're going to discuss which fights need to happen this year, and we'll discuss some fights who could have a breakout 2023 as well. But up next, we're going to get stuck into the heavyweight division and discuss how the next 12 months could play out.
From Tyson Fury.
Winner by split decision. And still the unified heavyweight champion of the world from Ukraine, Alexander Usyk.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Addy Oladipo, Greg Gareth, A. Davis. All right, let's start with the marquee division, and it really is, isn't it? It's the standout division in boxing, the heavyweights. I know for a few years it wasn't, because the likes of Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather, when you think of boxing, you do think of Mike Tyson, you think of Muhammad Ali, and now you think of the new current heavyweights. You think of Alexander Usyk, Tyson Fury, AJ, Deontay Wilder. Gareth, when you think of the heavyweight division and the picture that it's going to, I guess, show us in 2023, I guess the first real big one is Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk, undisputed. What can you tell us? Bob Arum and Frank have both sort of said in the last couple of weeks that it's done. It looks like it's going to go to the Middle East, and we're probably going to see it March, April. Is that true? Can we get excited about the undisputed heavyweight title fight?
Well, while we've all been tucking into the mince pies and the Christmas puddings and turkey and or what do they call it, vegetarian chicken these days, or whatever they call it. Look, I'm starting to hear noises, I think, in the last few days that this fight needs to be made soon, Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk, for all of the four belts. Otherwise, it'll either get delayed or move to the UK. I think there are some question marks, Addy, about how quickly it's moving forward. Frank Warren saying it needs to be signed soon. Bob Arum hinting, doesn't often say things for no reason, hinting that it might move to Wembley Stadium. I hope it does, frankly. And I hope we get it late April, early May in London. I'd love to see it be. I think that's the place for it. If a big $100 million offer comes in from the Middle East, from Saudi, then I think we'll go there. It's a fight we really need to see before these mandatories, Daniel Dubois, Joe Joyce mandatories for WBA and WBO, Flip Hergovich for the IBF, the three belts there that Alexander Usyk holds. Obviously, Deontay Wilder's the number one for the WBC now. Mm. So, you know, they do need to get this fight over the line. Otherwise, three of those four sanctioning bodies are going to be putting pressure on. And we will see the belts fractured. We still may see Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk, but it may not be for all the belts. And it'd be the first, obviously, undisputed title in the four belt era. The next 10 days are salient, obviously, in this fight getting over the line. I'd heard there was a big press conference announced for Thursday this week, and I was thinking, wow, are we going to get it? But actually, it's Frank Warren announcing his signing of young Moses Itaoma, the 18-year-old, who I think is a massive prospect in the heavyweight division. But it's the five heavyweights that you mentioned, or you've mentioned four, but I'll throw Joe Joyce in there. They're the big names this year. Tyson Fury, Alexander Usyk, Joe Joyce, Deontay Wilder, and Anthony Joshua. Not in that order, I hasten to add. But that's the shape of the division for me this year, and that's where all the big fights will happen.
Yeah, I wonder what the delay is here with this announcement of Usyk Fury. Because, look, with AJ Fury, you kind of felt like, okay, maybe someone doesn't want it, maybe someone behind the scenes doesn't want it, whereas the fighters do. With Usyk and Fury, you kind of feel like, well, everyone wants it. We saw Usyk step on the canvas. You were there, right? You were right in the middle of things. Fury was shouting at him, and Usyk was just sort of stone-faced, ready, wanting the fight. He's come out. I remember when he beat AJ, he says, like, I want the fight. I want it in February. So it's the date he wanted. Fury, could it be the hand injury potentially, or the elbow injury? Like, why is there a hold-up when everyone seems to be singing from the same hymn sheet? I'm confused.
Well, like you say, there could be little things in the background. Usyk obviously didn't have an interim fight. Tyson Fury did, obviously, December the 3rd, that cold night at Spurs. You never know if Usyk may suddenly be saying, look, I'm not sure, I might want to tune up before I fight Tyson Fury. He may not. Like you say, Fury mentioned the hand injury. He mentioned it on the night against Chisora to me, actually, for Talk Sport afterwards. So who knows what's behind the background? They may be looking at the purse split,
the fee, so much
site fee, all those things. So, and I think they are looking at an overall site fee for it, and they want that money to come forward. It's been very quiet from the Middle East. But then again, Bob Arum and Frank Warren don't talk as much And not maybe as available as maybe Eddie Hearn is when he talks about those things out in the open all the time. But as I say, by January, where are we now? Very early January, January the 3rd now, we need some resolution, I think, in the next week. Otherwise, we might hear different sounds.
Yeah.
And maybe in a different location, Eddie.
Yeah, I feel like we need some resolution with Anthony Joshua as well. There was a lot of talk. I remember when AJ lost to Usyk and the press conference, and it was like, okay, you know what, we're going to get him out straight away. He's going to be out early. We're looking at November, and then obviously this Fury thing came, and okay, it's not Fury, but we'll get him out in December. And then it was, okay, we're going to get him out in March, and we don't know Anthony Joshua's training situation. Eddie Hearn was on with Akin Brack on DAZN, and he said, look, the plan now is to rebuild him to become a three-time heavyweight world champion. It's all very well being brave, listening to Twitter, going out and fighting Deontay Wilder, but there has to be a plan, and a smart plan. And Eddie Hearn, I think, then said, we're going to go for a top 15 guy in March, then Dillian White in the summer, and then he says Wilder, AJ by the end of the year. And I, look, as much as I'm
Wilder,
Team AJ...
Wilder or Fury, you mean?
Yeah, Wilder or Fury. And as much as I'm Team AJ, say this now, Anthony Joshua is not fighting three times in 1 year. He's not done that since he was 2015. He just doesn't do it. He doesn't do it at all.
But it doesn't. But there's nothing wrong with having that as an ambition.
I hope we get that. I've always said, and I think you've sort of said the same thing. We need to see more AJ. Like we need to see him, not just in the ring, just in general. We need to see AJ. We don't see him that much, and I'm a bit disappointed because initially the talk was Dillian White in March. And now all of a sudden, it's been pushed back to, okay, no, it's a top 15 guy in March, then Dillian White in the summer. AJ doesn't need to build up to Dillian White. I remember me and you kind of went back and forth on this one. AJ should get in there right now with Dillian White. Surely AJ doesn't need a warm-up for Dillian White, does he?
No, but I tell you what, he won't be fighting the number 15 in the WBC. That's Jared Anderson.
No, he's not going to do that one, though.
For me, he's one of the rising stars, by the way, everybody, to keep a lookout for this year. 13-0, 13 KOs, TKOs.
It'll be Otto Wallin, won't it?
Look, Otto Wallin is a good guy for him because he's... I think Wallin is 3 with the WBO, which puts AJ into a fantastic position. Mm. AJ's 5-4 with all the sanctioning bodies, 5 with the WBC... WBA, and actually no, he's 4 with the WBA and IBF and 5 with the WBO and the WBC. Otto Wallin's a great fight for him in terms of positioning. There's, you know, I don't see, you know, that many other guys out there that are going to sell in a big way. You know, it's he's not going to fight Trevor Bryan. He's not going to fight that's not going to work.
Would he fight Hergovic?
I'm not so sure. Hergovic is 4, isn't he? With
yeah, and I didn't think he looked good against Zhili Zhang. I was a bit unimpressed with Hergovic.
Yeah, me too. I thought he lost to Zhili Zhang.
Yeah,
I really did think he lost that fight. But, you know, look, I think Anthony Joshua, like you, should be going into a fight with Dillian White late March, April, round about the same time as Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk, so we get that positioning again.
Yeah,
that would really work in my view. You know, that you could throw him in against a Lucas Brown or a I don't know, someone like that. Otto Wallin, Dillian White, Lucas Brown. If they're going for someone, a tune up for Dillian White, I don't see that as a great prospect. I also want to know who Anthony Joshua's trainer is going to be this year. Because it doesn't look like it's Robert Garcia at the moment. Will it be Roy Jones Jr.?
Yes.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And look, I don't want to sort of be too disrespectful to this trainer setup, but it needs to be sorted. This will be Anthony Joshua's third trainer in 3 fights. And that's a big problem for me as well. I mean, what are you doing? It's almost like some trainer builds you up and, okay, try this, try that. And then another trainer comes and says, no, stop that. Try this, try that. It's just, honestly, it's a big mess. I think Buddy McGirt was like, you know, the best thing for AJ, go back to Rob McCracken. Go back to someone that knows you. You understand each other. And maybe that isn't a bad idea right now. Let's talk about Joe Joyce. I know he's a heavyweight that you really sort of have a lot of faith in. Everyone seems to really... are very high on him right now, and rightly so after that Joseph Parker performance. I thought he was really good, really, really good. And he seems to be almost the new boogeyman. And don't get me wrong, look, I still think fighters will fight him. I think, you know, pay the right money, someone will get in a ring with him. But the risk-reward fighting a Joe Joyce right now isn't good, because the reward is you ain't going to get paid that much, are you? I mean, Joe Joyce isn't going to, you know, he's not going to put that many bums on the seats, and he has no belt. The risk, well, you just have to look at the faces of everyone he fights. He really is a destroyer of men. And I don't know who's going to get it. Apart from Bacoli, maybe, I don't know what they're going to find for him.
Yeah, exactly. It's fascinating. Well, you know, to finish off on the top five heavyweights, it's what happens with Deontay Wilder and what happens with Joe Joyce this year. They may end up fighting each other.
Ooh, that is a massive fight. Take my money now. I'll pay anything for that fight.
But you look at the WBO, where obviously Big Joe Joyce, the juggernaut, is the interim champion at the moment. There's, you know, you look at the top four in the WBO, and they are Andy Ruiz, Frank Sanchez, Otto Valin, and Flip Hergovic. They're all viable for him. Mm. As is Anthony Joshua at number five. I don't think he'll fight Joshua next. But any four of those would be a terrific event in the UK for me.
Frank, you know, Sanchez is a very, very good shout. Almost a bit like Joe Joyce in the UK. Frank Sanchez is almost avoided as well, especially after that FA Ajagba win. Not many people want Frank Sanchez. Strong, big, Cuban. So, you know, the boxing ability is just there. I like that. I like the idea of that. I feel like we're going to get Wilder Ruiz just because it's a massive money fight in the States. On Daniel Dubois, very quickly, just before we break, what do you do with Dubois next? I hear that he's injured, so he's going to probably be out of the ring for a little while, but there's a problem there, isn't there, in terms of how you match up Dubois. Larina caused him some problems. I know his foot was hurt, but it was hurt because he got hit on the top of the head. What do you do with Dubois?
I don't know. There are big question marks about Daniel at the moment. He's still a very, very young heavyweight. We know he's got extraordinary power. He's talked about brilliantly in the gym. You don't know if he needs surgery on that knee that gave him problems. I think you alluded to the fact that it might have been a combination of a knee and a punch to the head. Mm. You know, it's a difficult one. Martin Bacoli, maybe.
Poor man, yeah.
But he's not ready for the likes of Wilder and Joshua, or even Arslan Bekmakhmudov, in my view.
No chance. No, it's too big, too strong for now.
So there's big question marks about him, how they manage him, how Frank Moran manages him from here. And
would you risk him with a Michael Hunter type?
I think you'd risk him with Michael Hunter. Yeah, yeah. I do. He's got to go out there and prove it. You know, it's. Look, a winning record isn't everything, and we've got to see him develop and get into the trenches and work his way through the trenches. That's the big question mark about him at the moment. He's brilliant when it's going his way, but if it's not going his way, he's got to learn. And maybe that's what got him through the Lorena fight on December the 3rd last year, because he'd learned against Joe Joyce, you know, that just hold it together for a while. He definitely had problems in that fight and fought his way through it and fought to victory against, let's be honest, a very small heavyweight who's even fought at cruiserweight, I think.
So, he has, yeah, former IBO cruiserweight champion, Larina.
Yeah. So, you know, there are still question marks about Daniel.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we're going to get stuck into who could have a breakout year in 2023. But up next, all the fights we simply have to see this year.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Rematch would be absolutely phenomenal. If it was in Dublin, we could set out Croke Park outside 90,000 people. That would be unbelievable. We've seen something special here tonight. Imagine flying in front of 80 or 90,000 people in Croke Park.
I don't think that team's going to want to fight me or really nobody else. You know, my resume is better than his. And I'm the undisputed champion. I don't feel like he really wants to fight anybody.
Welcome back to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davies. All right, our wish list for 2023. We've got some fights down here that I'm going to read out. Have you got your own sort of one, Gareth, though? I'm going to read out sort of several here. We can discuss them. But is there one, if you could sort of have the pick of all the fights and you can only make one this year, what fight would you make this year?
I've got to say Usyk and Fury for the Undisputed title, really, because it's so big. But if I could pick one that we haven't discussed already, is outside the heavyweights, if you can allow me that kind of...
I give you the floor.
I would like to see Shakur Stevenson against Tank Davis.
Ooh, interesting. I thought he was going to say Shakur Stevenson versus Devin Haney. You've gone Tank Davis.
No, I think I think the biggest test for Shakur is Tank Davis. I think Haney and Shakur's a great fight, but I think Shakur versus Tank is one of the biggest fights in the sport. Really, yes,
it's a fantastic fight. It really is.
In their prime, very young, crossroads fight, all those things.
It has everything. Honestly, it has every element. You've got the boxer in Shakur who can punch a bit, and you've got the puncher in Tank that can box as well. So it literally has everything. Two
what
different
I like
personalities.
Is the matchup of speed, Addy. Speed of both men. You know,
honestly, that's a great shout.
It's Errol Spence and Terence Crawford. 4 or 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. Agreed. My one, if I could just have one, like you got one that you can watch on the TV right now, I'd have to have Dmitry Bivol versus Artur Beterbiev. Undisputed, light heavyweight, a boxer versus a pure puncher. I love the idea of it. Sort of old Soviet Union block, like both just two menacing guys. Honestly, both unbeaten. And I know Beterbiev's now 38, so you could argue he's past his prime, but he's still a very, very good fighter. And I think we've seen in the last sort of 12 months that Bivol's really just a really special fighter. And I just love the idea of it. Boxer versus puncher. I think that'll be a fascinating matchup.
Can I say?
Yes, sir.
Do you think after Beterbiev, obviously if Beterbiev needs to beat Anthony Yard this year for that to happen, and obviously that's taking place for us on January the 28th here in the UK.
It is.
If Beterbiev comes through there and people love him and Bivol's fought in this country, and obviously Eddie Hearn is promoting Bivol, do you reckon Bivol against Beterbiev could be a big fight in the UK rather than the USA?
100%. And we know there's we've got the Eastern European fan base over here as well. And I just feel like all these big fights, I don't know if these fighters realise how popular they are in the UK. Like, they're so popular over here. That would do the O2 Arena or the AO Arena. It would do it easily.
I agree.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And obviously, as you say, Eddie works with Bivol. He fights on DAZN. I know Bob and Eddie don't get on, but, you know, to make money, they'll get on. It's a big fight, and I think it'll be a good one over here as well. I like that one. All right, let's go through the wish list.
Who wins that, Addy? Ooh. Who wins that?
Well, after Bivol gave me his jacket, I'm Team Bivol all the way, baby. Team Bivol all the way.
I think I'd like to take into account the age of Beterbiev when I'm looking at that fight. Mm. And if Bivol can jab Beterbiev's head off and frustrate him, I think he's got a massive opportunity. But I think most people would see Beterbiev as the favourite in that.
Yeah.
But it's a big call. But I think you could go for Bivol in that fight.
Yeah, you could. But you almost feel like Beterbiev's going to get to him. It's almost like that Gervonta Davis feeling that you can box me, but I'm going to get to you. And you must feel like Beterbiev at one stage, Bivol's going to have to stand there and trade, and that could be his undoing. All right, Jez has wrote us a couple of names here. One of the ones that he's wrote down, which I guess you could copy and paste from 2018, really, is Crawford Spence. I'm tired of it. I'm absolutely tired of this fight. I really want it to happen still, though, just because both are still, they're still there, aren't they? I mean, you look at the pound-for-pound rankings. Terence is probably number two. Errol's, at worst, number seven. Both unbeaten. Like both, it's not like anyone's taken any slippage. Even if it's, I still think it's a bit past its sell-by date now, I really do, but if it's still made this year, it still would be, I think, the biggest fight that can be made. Not financially, but just in terms of hardcore fans' eyeballs on the sport, I still think Crawford Spence is number one.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to Al Haymon and his team getting Errol Spence into that fight. Terence Crawford obviously laid out last year that in a long speech at a press conference before the David Avanesian fight, in which he, again, let's say this, another brilliant stoppage by him, spiteful, accurate, almost like a savant. Incredible. It's just a fight we've got to see. Both undefeated, but both brilliant, both fantastic welterweights. It's a fight for the ages, and I just hope they get it over the line. But it's been there so many times and teased. Who knows, Addy? It might be one of those ones that disappears into the pantheon of fights we never got. Lennox Lewis and Riddick Bowe and others like that. Ricky Hatton and Junior Witter. We never thought we were going to get Amir Khan and Kell Brook. And let's not hope that we're going to have to wait for 2025 for Spence and Crawford, where they're suddenly going, oh, we finally need a last payday. And they do the last knockings against each other. But because for all the brilliance of the atmosphere of Khan and Brook, they certainly weren't in their prime.
No, you're right. 100% they weren't. It looked fantastic fight, I guess, right, in terms of atmosphere. And it done good numbers for everyone. But yeah, we were watching sort of subpar, Brooks subpar, Amir Khan. Right, one that's not in the list that I've got to add in just because, you know, I've obviously copyrighted the phrase, chaos in Lagos. there is no fight. I said this and some people are saying, Ade, you're wrong. And I'm not wrong. If every single super fight is on the TV and you have to pick one to watch, the carnage and the two-round blowout that will be AJ versus Wilder, take my money right now, because I think that would be absolute chaos. And it's a fight I still don't think it will happen ever, if I'm honest with you, but it's a fight I'd love to see. And obviously right now I'd have to favour Deontay Wilder, just because he looks like, you know, he hasn't lost a step after those beatings from Tyson Fury, and AJ certainly has lost a step. But I'd love to see that fight, AJ versus Wilder, two big guys, two punchers. I think that'd be fantastic.
Oh, if the big heavyweights, the big African American and the big British Nigerian fought in Lagos, that would be absolutely
amazing.
You know, obviously you have your heritage. I've lived in Lagos before. Mm. It would be an extraordinary place to have it. Massive boxing fandom in Nigeria. Very physical people. They love combat and fight sports. Yep. It would be amazing. I don't know if you know a venue there. I don't know venues there these days. But
there's the National Stadium in Lagos, in Surulere. So it's the old National Stadium, which is still there, which holds, I think, 65,000.
There you go.
There you go. So it really could happen, honestly. It obviously won't, but you think of sort of the fights in the past that everyone remembers. Everyone, even if you're a non-boxing fan, knows what Rumble in the Jungle is and Thriller in Manila. Not all the biggest fights have to happen in America or Europe or now in the Middle East. So that would be one. Jez has put down Katie Taylor's homecoming fight. She's desperate for it, and I'm desperate for it for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Croke Park in 2023 would be amazing. As you say, it would join the kind of exponential rise in terms of timelining where women's boxing is going. We've never had a huge outdoor stadium fight headlined by a woman. Katie Taylor's the perfect person. Her following in Ireland is beyond belief. Mm. There's little doubt they'd be able to sell that out. Eddie Hearn says they've ticked a lot of the boxes with the authorities and the police. Katie Taylor wants that fight. It's who it's against. Would it be against Amanda Serrano? I see she's signed to fight again soon anyway. I see that as a May, June, July fight. Let's hope they get it over the line. Tasha Jonas, again, a very viable opponent if they want to do that. They could also put the belts on the line, presumably, at light middle if they wanted to. Chantel Cameron is not the style I think Katie Taylor wants. And it may even be the brilliant Irish woman's swan song as well, Addy. But let's hope they get that over the line. Yes, please. 80,000, Croke Park, Dublin, sometime in the first half of 2023.
Yeah, I'd love to see maybe someone like a Baumgartner get the opportunity, just because she just took so much smack. And it'll be so different from anyone that Katie's fought. Someone that just winds her up a little bit. And it's nice to see someone get under Katie's skin. But look, hopefully she gets it. Ideally, it's Amanda Serrano. But if not, there are so many ladies out there that she can fight. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to discuss who could have a breakout year and look ahead to some of the fights later this month.
She's wanted since she was an 11-year-old girl, and she has the 0-2 standing.
Welcome back to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, let's give you our ones to watch now for 2023. So many stars, not just over here in the UK, but in America as well. You probably heard Gareth mention when we was talking heavyweights about Jared Anderson. And Top Rank have got so many young superstars coming through, but Jared Anderson probably could be the special one alongside the likes of Keyshawn Davis and others as well. But I do want to focus on some of the talent we've got over here first, Gareth. Let's start with this one. A guy that's desperate for a world title fight now is probably deserving of it as well, and that's boxer's Richard Riakpo. Is it the Midnight Train, I think he's called, which is one of the best nicknames, if it's true. So it's perfect, describes him perfectly. He's definitely one to watch because he's on the cusp of a world title shot.
Yeah, definitely. And the fact that Boxer have signed Lawrence Okolie, obviously he's got a fight coming up in, I'm trying to think what it is now, it's March.
Is it March? 11th. Yeah.
Yeah, against, I forget his first name, but Light is his surname. And that's, you know, a fantastic fight for Okolie, see him back in action. Mm. But I think Richard Riakpo against Lawrence Okolie is a brilliant prospect. I'm looking down the cruiserweight divisions, and he's in position for an Ilunga Makabu fight. He's in position for a Jai Opetaia fight.
That's a good fight, yeah. Obviously, after he beat Marius Bredas, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no doubt you can get the Antipodean over here for that fight, for the IBF title. Yes, Richard Riakpo, I think he advanced his cause in the last couple of years. I think we've seen him box a little bit now. And what I love about him is that he doesn't get emotional about criticism, about his style or what he's done. I've had loads of really good chats to him. And he is like the proverbial sponge and loves to soak things up. I think it's a massive year for him. Wouldn't surprise me to see him win a world title. And then maybe he fights Lawrence Okolie in a unified championship, which would be a big fight over here. Again, that's selling out an O2 arena. It's not quite a stadium fight yet, but it's selling out an O2 arena, maybe a pay-per-view card for Sky and Boxer.
Mm. One lady that I have no doubt will become a world champion, maybe through the weights as well, because she's growing, not just in the ring, but growing in her confidence as well, and that's Caroline Dubois. She has everything as far as I'm concerned, and she's spiteful. I think we've always said we look for these ladies to get knockouts, and I know sometimes in 2-minute rounds it's difficult, but she's getting the stoppages as well. I think it's inevitable. I don't know if it's going to be 2023 because of, you've got to look at who's in the division, but it's inevitable that she will become a world champion, but she definitely will be on the cusp of a world title in 2023.
Yeah, I think so. Look, she fought five or six times after, I think it was six in the end. I think it was six after making her debut last year. Very active on lots of cards. She's got a fantastic style. Physically, she's amazing. Like you say, maybe not quite ready yet for the top girls. But, you know, by the end of the year, she'll be 11, 12 fights into her career. End of this year, early next year, she'll be on the cusp of world title, certainly contention. She'll be a world titleist at that point, certainly challenging for a belt. Brilliant style, great fighter, dedicated to the sport. And it looks like she might get to be true world champion ahead of her brother.
Yeah, honestly, will do, I think. This one's interesting, just because, again, we've touched on it, but we have no idea how it's going to play out and what's going to happen, how his career is going to be kick-started. Conor Benn. You look at that next British superstar, and I think everyone, up until that point in October, everyone would have probably said, oh, Conor Benn. You know, the name, the way, his style of fighting, his social media presence, he was getting the real big push from DAZN and Eddie. It's all come to a halt. So I do look forward to see how he resurrects his career in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very good point. I mean, I mentioned it earlier on. What he does this year is very important, as much outside the ring as it is inside the ring. And I'm going to add to that young Adam Azim, who hasn't truly been tested yet. But by the end of this year, I think he'll get a proper test as well. Was he 20?
I think 2021, yeah.
Yeah, massively explosive fighter. We need to see what he's like under pressure. Fascinated by his growth. He's been talked up very much by Ben Shalom and Boxer. Trained, obviously,
Shane McGuigan.
Shane McGuigan, who's got a fantastic stable there. Although Lawrence Okoli has obviously left that stable now. But massive prospects coming through. You mentioned Jared Anderson and Keyshawn Davis. They're two of my big prospects from America as well. As still, you know, Jaron Ennis, I'd like to see. I know he's had a lot of fights already. Ditto Virgil Ortiz, but I'd like to see them in world title fights this year, because it's time they came through as well. I mean, I picked Virgil Ortiz as one of my prospects last year, but he only fought once, as did Conor Benn.
Crazy.
In a weird year. So, you know, there's a lot of breakout stars out there. In the women's, Skye Nicholson as well. She's more of a boxer than a puncher, but I'd pick her out as well. She's going to be very relevant this year, I believe, under the banner of Eddie Hearn, of course, and on DAZN. Talented, beautiful, great speaker.
Honestly, ticks it. I almost expect her to grow away from the sport. She'll still box, obviously, but you mentioned, look, she's a beautiful girl. And I just wonder if that crossovers to other stuff as well that she might be doing. I expect to see her in like a Dior magazine doing something. Like, she seems to be able to like cross the boundaries. She's so comfortable as well now. And I wouldn't be shocked if she kind of follows the Ramla Ali sort of route and does so many other stuff outside of boxing.
Yeah, that would be no surprise whatsoever. I think she's on the route to do that. But I want to ask you about my American prospects.
Go on.
For me, Keyshawn Davis is very, very special. I don't know if you've had much of a look at him yet, but obviously
I have fought recently as well on the top rank card. Yeah, they had
big cards.
Yeah,
he's fought some big cards this year. Fought on the Canelo Avni Yildirim. In 2021, he fought on the Alvarez, Billy Joe Saunders undercard. He's now, I think, with Top Rank now, isn't he?
He is.
You know, medals at the 2019 World Championships, Pan American Games, silver medalist at the Olympics in 2020. Pretty flawless career start. And I just think when I look at him, he's got all the skills to pay all the bills for me. You know, in that line of Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather, Miguel Cotto, Vasyl Lomachenko, Shakur Stevenson, that kind of lineage, if you know what I mean.
No, he's got absolutely everything. He's a special boxer. And they've got so many. They've got Xander Zayas as well, who's a 154-pound fighter, I believe, Puerto Rican. And, you know, the Puerto Ricans are desperate for another name to sort of come through. Obviously, Amanda Serrano's there, but they're desperate to see another male dominate. They've had obviously Miguel Cotto and Felix Trinidad before. They're looking for someone else. So look, there's so many special talents. I do believe that in terms of young talents, I do think that Top Rank probably have the best young talents of guys that I think will go on to become world champions. So look, I think we're in for a good year, I think, to sum it all up. I think 2023 should be good. There are so many big fights to be made, so many big fights on the horizon. We're hearing Devin Haney versus Vasily Lomachenko. That's a great fight in the lightweight division. Obviously, you've got the likes of Eubank versus Smith over here early. But Tabia versus Yard over here early. And we've even, don't forget, we've even got KSI versus Dylan Danis as well. So look, we've got a great year in store from the world of boxing. So make sure you stay tuned. We'll keep you obviously fully covered and entertained throughout the year here on Fight Night Extra as well. And don't forget Fight Night with Adam Catchell and Gareth A. Davis as well. Gareth, as always, my man, Happy New Year. Fantastic to be back and look forward to speaking to you next week. You've been listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.